But we are going to just do our Bible reading this morning. So as Colin's already shown us in our beautiful children's talk, that we are looking at the wise and the foolish builder. So will you read with me on the screen? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. Cool. As Colin said, it's probably a message that you have heard numerous times throughout your life if you've been a Christian for a while. But today, the question that I want to look at is this question: to obey or not to obey? That is the crucial question. Not just the question, as we're going to see, it is crucial for us to decide between these two. For myself, growing up in Cooper Pedy, one of the things that I loved to do was build things. We had sadly nothing else to do in Cooper Pedy, so we would go out, we would dig ramps for bike jumps. We even built a golf course out the front of our house because there was a golf course in Cooper Pedy, and some of us loved doing that. Also, we'd tinker around in Dad's shed here and there, putting bits of timber together and making all sorts of things. I was always creative, and that didn't change when we left Cooper Pedy. We came up to Adelaide, and Mum and Dad bought a house at Wollunga, and there, one of the first things that I wanted to do is, now that we're out of the desert, I could grow stuff. So I spent hours at night reading books about what plants to grow, what I needed to do to the soil, laying out a little map, designing a garden, and building it. At school, I was in every constructive course I could be in. I was in metal tech, I was in wood tech, I was in pedal pre, all about building different things every chance that I got. And so, surprise, surprise, when I finished school, what did I do? I became a carpenter and I kept building. I went from building little residential homes to mansions on the beachfront with some of my employers and even multi-story buildings in Adelaide City. Always I've been involved in building. Now, there's probably some of you here this morning as well that also love building things. Maybe you've got a project at home that you're in the middle of, or maybe you just love putting together a Lego master creation that they've got so many around available for adults. Or maybe it's just some new furniture you just love when it comes and get to screw it all together. But then I know there's also some here this morning that you see an IKEA flat pack and you start sweating. It's like, that's not even in an English language for me to put together, it can feel like sometimes. Whether you enjoy constructing things, putting things together like I do, or you don't, the reality is that Jesus actually said we are all builders, but not builders with brick and mortar or IKEA flat packs. But we are all builders of our lives. We all have been given a responsibility. And so the question is, what kind of builders do we want to be? What kind of builders are we going to be? Jesus tells us that the foundation of our lives determines whether everything is going to stand firm or fall apart when the storms come. So how do we become the kind of builders who can build a life that lasts? Where do we start? Do we start with our job, with our families, with our church, our home? As a carpenter, when I arrived on a job site, the first thing we would do before building a new house is we would look at the plans. Before anything else could happen, the boss would lay out the plans and get to work. Thankfully for us today, that the context of this passage that we're looking at actually is exactly that. It is a plan, a long plan that Jesus has laid out through his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. It's basically this plan on how we should go about living our lives. It starts all the way back in Matthew chapter 5, and where Jesus talks about things such as the Beatitudes, or being salt and light to the world, or the importance of not being angry and not murdering, or lust and adultery, divorce, making promises, revenge, loving our enemies, charity, prayer, fasting, greed, worry, judging others, and generosity are all things that get mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount. And each one of these are often a sermon in their own right when they're taught on. And so I'm not going to preach through them today for our sake. It is quite hot. But I would encourage you, if you haven't read them, or even if it's been a while since you've read them, go back, read through chapters 5, 6, and even 7, as I believe it will greatly strengthen the takeaway from today's message. But as we've just read, we come to the end of chapter 7, and Jesus introduces us to two builders. And so today, I actually need two builders. Have I got any volunteers that would be interested? If you don't put your hand up, I will come and put your hand up for you. Oh, thank you, William. So I do have an image for you, just to, so it should look like that. Yep. All right, so we've got one on the left and we need one on the right. Anyone? No one's volunteering. Joe, would you be interested in building? Appreciate that. So you can sit here and build it. So that's what you're building. Hopefully it's not too difficult for you. I was going to follow, but I didn't give as many instructions as an IKEA flat pack would. So, but yeah, so while these two lovely volunteers are building, I just thought we would just talk a little bit about these two builders that we have today. Because while these houses are being built, I think there's a bit of a misconception. Thank you, William. You can sit down if you've done. You can maybe just bring it up here for me as well. I'd appreciate that. Once you've finished as well, Joe, if you could bring yours to the front. No problem. Should have made it a bit more complex. But as I was saying, I think there is often a bit of a misconception that is made about the two builders in this story. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. I think when we read this story, we often think that Jesus is actually talking about a Christian and a non-Christian building their lives. And as we're going to see in this story, that's not actually the case, as there's actually so many similarities between these two builders. Firstly, the builders both heard the words of Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, you can open them up. We're just going to be staying in the passage that we read. It's not going to be on the screen all the time, but it'll be helpful if it's open in front of you. Both the builders heard the words of Jesus. By today's standards, we would say that both these builders had probably Christian parents. They were brought up in a Christian home. They both had Christian values. They likely probably went to church every Sunday. They heard sermons preached. Majority of their friends were probably Christian as well. Maybe they even read Christian books. They maybe even listened to Christian music on a regular basis. So we would say that both of these builders had clearly ample opportunity to hear the words of Jesus' instructions for life. Just like many of us today. Many of us today have been in church for a long time. We've gone to maybe Sunday school, and you finished Sunday school, you went to youth group, and then after youth group, you're in church, and you might have been in church for years, hearing week in, week out, the commands of Jesus, what the Bible says about how we should be living our lives. And that's only the first similarity. The second similarity we see is that, surprise, surprise, both these builders built houses. Jesus doesn't mention here at all that there was any trouble for either of these builders in actually constructing the houses that they presented in the story, just like my helpers this morning. Didn't have any trouble, even with my lack of instructions. But now, just to be clear, as Colin's already mentioned a little bit in our children's talk, that Jesus isn't actually talking about houses in this passage, but rather he's using the house as a metaphor for the lives that these builders were building. And so that we could say that these builders' lives from the outside were ticking all the Christian boxes. They likely were going to church, they were serving in ministries, they were probably reading their Bible regularly, they maybe had memorized a few key scriptures, they raised their hands when they worshipped, they were singing songs on a Sunday. They both really were poster child Christians that we would want here at Lighthouse and maybe any other church. The lives of these two builders were similar from outside, so similar that they probably couldn't be told apart by anyone walking by. Much like in the church today, when we walk into church, we look around, we can't really tell who is a new Christian, who's been a Christian for a number of years, or maybe who doesn't even believe and is just exploring what this faith is all about. Because the reality is, we've heard these stories so many times, we know the plan so well that we're walking it out. So the builders both heard Jesus' words, and they both built similar lives. But third similarity that we see, as I mentioned, Jesus didn't mention any trouble in building their house, but he does definitely mention that both builders' houses faced, strangely, I don't know if you notice this, identical storms, like word for word identical. The storms of rain, floods, and wind were both faced. And through the, although these storms are identical, I don't believe what Jesus is trying to say is that every single Christian is going to face the exact same storm in their life. I might face a different storm to Helen. Helen will face a different storm to Nolene. And each one of us are going to face unique storms in our lives. And there's all sorts of different storms. But what Jesus was trying to say, he was trying to say that it's going to happen to everyone. Maybe it's sickness in your life, an unforeseen illness, or maybe an investment goes wrong and you find yourself in poverty. Maybe it's loneliness, disappointment, doubt, temptation, failure, or as we've just heard this morning, even death coming into your life. Maybe it's a conflict, a job loss, or even a betrayal in your family. This is just a small list of the storms that we Christians will face in our lives. And Jesus is saying here, it actually doesn't matter whether you are a wise builder or a foolish builder. The reality is that you are going to face storms. And then we come to the last similarity that we see between these two builders. They chose a foundation. There were two foundations that they could have chose from, as Colin has alluded, shown us as well, sand and rock. And this is the only difference. The foundations are the difference. The reality is that both builders had to choose which foundation they were going to build upon. The foundation of sand represents things like the world, material possessions, wealth, fleshly desire, pleasure, satisfaction, and maybe even pride that comes with fame or popularity and recognition of from other people in our lives. Really, in simple terms, the foundation of sand represents anything that we put in the place of Jesus to try and support and uphold our lives. But then there's the foundation of the rock. The rock represents Jesus Christ. The words that he spoke when he ministered on this earth, his commands that are written down numerous times in the Bible, the example he set through the life he lived out, and most importantly, his death and resurrection, and then the passing on of the Holy Spirit to us after his ascension. Very different foundations that we see. And yet, we've seen from these two builders up on the screen, there's so many similarities, so many things that you would almost not be able to tell them apart. They had the same instructions. They were given the same, or they were told where to build their house and how to build it, yet they ended up with significantly different foundations. Why did that happen? Why were their foundations so different? Well, it's because of one thing: their obedience. Obedience is crucial. I say obedience is crucial because obedience, as I said at the start, determines the strength of the foundation of our lives. We saw from the similarities of the builders, their lives seemed to be traveling really well. Both the wise and the foolish builders had no issues. They'd built their houses, they were probably enjoying them, inviting friends over, doing whatever they needed to do. They'd heard the instructions from Jesus. But just like our houses here, something wasn't the same. And so, as much as from the outside they look identical, we know that when the rains came, and there was lots of rain because it was... Oh, Joe, you built this house really well. Oh, that's all right. It fell down when the rains and the flood came. Maybe I built the foundation too strong. But unlike the other builder, when the rains came, and I don't need to pour lots here, it didn't fall down. When the storm came, it revealed where their obedience truly lied of these two builders. We know the foolish man, it says, the only thing that was different was that he disobeyed, or he didn't listen to the words that he had heard. Instead, he trusted the world. He trusted the things of the world. While the wise man obeyed Jesus' words, he trusted his promises, and despite the winds and the waves, his house remained standing. So how then do we be like the wise builder? Because that's all what we all want. We want our lives to be standing no matter what storms come our way. So how do we be like the wise builder and build a godly life that will last? As I mentioned earlier, as a carpenter, when we arrived on the job site to build a new house, the first thing that we would do is we would look at the plans, is what we would do. But what I didn't tell you is carpenters never get called to a job site unless there has been a foundation laid. A strong foundation that has not just been laid and is still wet and leaving footprints, but a foundation that's been laid and it's cured and it's been tested to make sure that it is strong enough to withhold the building that we are going to build on it. And the same is true for our lives. We all need a strong foundation that we will be able to, which will be able to support our lives when the storms come. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says that no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate foundation that can help us weather any storm. But building our lives upon him is no easy task, as I'm sure many of you are aware of. But in the Luke's version of this story in the Gospel of Luke, he actually talks about the wise builder and this man who built his life on the rock. And he says he actually digs down deep. He doesn't just take the easy road out, but he puts in the commitment. He puts in the time, his energy. And sometimes he maybe even had to deny things or maybe even step out of his comfort zone. And these are things that we will have to do if we also want to build our lives upon the rock. We might have to give up things that we love. Maybe it's stop sleeping in, or maybe it's money, maybe it's leisure, maybe it's comfort. We will have to deny ourselves if we want our lives to be built upon the rock. As we diligently train ourselves in obedience and our mind and bodies to obey Jesus' words, things like the Sermon on the Mount come to mind. The Great Commission, the two greatest commandments in Scripture, and many other things that are written in the Bible can help us with this. Help us be ready to know what we need to obey. But how do we increase our obedience from these things to Jesus so that we can have this strong foundation for life? Well, let's look at some practical steps that we can take. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't call yourself a Christian, there's actually some good news because you're off the hook. You don't need to actually increase your obedience to Jesus because that's not what he has called you to do, because you haven't called yourself a follower of him. But if you feel like your life is just not as sturdy as you would like it to be, when those storms come that you just wish there was more stability than you have right now, I would encourage you to read through the Sermon on the Mount, to look at what the words say, and as you read through it, to ask God to show you what it looks like to obey him and the impact that that can have on your life. But if you are a believer and you consider yourself a Christian, the first place we should always start is prayer. And in particular, prayer to identify areas in your life. Because the truth is, we all, myself included, have areas where we are not obeying Jesus' words. Maybe it's in our relationships. We're holding on to anger or a grudge, and we're just refusing to forgive what the other party has done. Or maybe it's in our finances. We trust so much in that amount we see in our bank account, and we're not really relying on God and his provision for the things that he wants to do in our lives. Or maybe it's your priorities. You're chasing success, comfort, or approval instead of working towards seeking the kingdom of God first. I encourage you, when you do this, we can often at times not be honest with ourselves when we think about the things that we are struggling with. But when we're talking to God, the reality is that he already knows the things that we're failing at. So we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to hide these things away, because he not only knows, but he also wants to help us rebuild our lives back on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we can start small, because often when we think about changing our lives, and in particular in obedience, we think of the big things. Oh, I can do this and it's going to turn my life around. And as we were talking about on Wednesday night, it's unrealistic. We can't set applications from Scripture that we're never going to meet, because what is even the point? So don't start big, dramatic. Maybe consider a small daily choice that you can do. Choose one area in your life where you want to obey Jesus more fully. Maybe it's spending time in the morning. It comes with a sacrifice, getting up a little bit earlier, spending time with Jesus, maybe 10 minutes. Start with that. Praying, worshiping him, reading his scriptures. Or maybe it's something that you struggle with other people, like maybe being kind, talking kindly. We were just chatting with someone the other day who visited us, and they were saying the exact thing. There's some people in our lives that just rub us up the wrong way. And when you come into contact with them, it's hard. It's not easy to use kind words towards that person. Or maybe it's even being generous. Generous with your finances, generous with your time and what you have. It might be uncomfortable, it might feel like you're letting go or losing control of things. But some of these small steps of obedience to things that God has called us to do will lead to a strong foundation over time. Thirdly, we have memorize and meditate on Scripture. One of the best ways to grow in obedience is by filling our mind with God's Word. And this actually is the passage that we looked at our young adults group, life group this week. And I challenge us this week. If this is something you want to do, memorize James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. One verse that if we memorize this and put it into practice, could change our community, could change our lives for the better of. And so ways you can do it, maybe I'm not very good at memorizing things. You could write it on a sticky note. I know that's numerous books I've read said about memorizing Scripture. Just put it everywhere. Write it on your mirror. I don't wear lipstick, but I've even seen some where they write it in lipstick or whatever it is. If you're more tech savvy like me, I've got an app that I use called Fiderverse that helps me. It's a fill in the blanks and I can put in any verse I want to memorize a piece of Scripture. Or maybe you like to put it on your phone. You could put them on your phone screen. Lots of Bible apps do that. Do whatever you need to do to get those words to be in your mind constantly. And finally, because as we all know, it's not easy doing this alone. It's hard, yakka. It takes time, it takes effort, and it's easy when no one else is looking to just let it slip by the wayside. But for us, we don't want that to happen. And so we want to do it with others. Find one or two other people in the congregation here. We're all on the same journey. We all want to be heading to a direction of obeying Jesus' words more in our life. So find someone who's going to keep you accountable. Share with them the specific area. Don't just say, oh, help me obey more, but say, I want to obey Jesus more in this area of my life. Can you keep me accountable? Can you check in with me next week and see how I've gone? I mean, these are just four things that we could do to help us be more obedient. But imagine what Lighthouse Church could look like if every single believer obeyed Jesus' commands and Jesus' words in the Bible. Some of the things that would happen if we obeyed all these things: there would be no more judgment. We would all be praying for one another whenever we come in. There would be no one coming into church without concern or worry about what's happening in my life. There would be no divorce, no broken promises, no anger, no violence. And the list could go on and on and on of the things that would change for the better if we were only willing to obey. But that would be radical obedience. As we know, as I know from my own life, it's not easy to always obey Jesus' words. But if we can do it, we would be able to, as a church, as individuals, stand firm in any storm that comes our way. And the reality is, the world would see us and would want to be a part of that community. They would want to see people who are going through similar situations and nothing is impacting them. Nothing is shaking them and breaking their world apart. And that's what Jesus wants for us. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for this story of the two builders. The two builders of lives, Lord, that looked so similar. Looked even similar to our lives today, Lord. yet we know that one ended very differently. And Lord, maybe we have been in that space from time to time in our lives, where things have fallen apart. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to just simply obey your words, obey your scriptures, Lord, so that when any storms do come, we can stand firm. We can be confident in your promises because we've been obeying them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.